doesn't take long to see today in our world, and especially in the United States, how things seem to be unraveling all around us. People with their various agendas and motives are just turning our culture upside down, and our world is being changed day by day right before our very eyes. And all this happening all around the Church of Jesus Christ. And there's never a time in history when the church needs to be empowered than right now. Our desire for power is in everything that we do and everything that we have in our cars. You know, you watch the commercials on television, the main selling point is the power to do certain things that cars have to provide more joy, supposedly, for us. And our power tools that we buy, and our credit cards, they all make claims to be more powerful than the other one, to do what we need to do. We desire power in our laundry detergents. We desire power in our physical bodies. We desire power in our computers. And we talk about kilobytes, megabytes, terabytes, and all these kinds of things. We desire power in our telephones now, to be able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask them to do. And we have a willingness to achieve this power, even willing to pay for it, believing that power and freedom and joy lies in all these things. And sadly, in our culture, there seems to be, though, a lack of desire for power in the church. Our belief that we can do it, or that we are capable, or that we need to take charge, has become the rule of thumb in a lot of churches today in the 21st century, and therefore the church begins to lose its power as time goes on. And, you know, there was a day when the church was the ultimate power in society. But unfortunately, it's not that way today, and it seems to be failing in our culture. We've forgotten where the church gets its power, and we've forgotten the purpose of a powerful church. The power, first of all, of the church is not in the people. I'm going to say that again. The power of the church is not in the people. Yes, the people make up the church, but the power of the church is not in the people. It is in the Spirit of God as He gives to the church. In many churches today, the power in the church has to do with a certain name of people that are involved in that church, a certain family that they come from, or maybe power in a certain church might be because of membership, that someone's been a member longer than anybody else, so they seem to have more say, or maybe it's because of money. You know, there are a lot of churches that are run by the money in the community, and that's where the power comes from, or maybe even someone's social status. You know, a lot of churches get their power from people who have high status in society. The power of the church is not in the people, it's in the Spirit of God as God gives to the church. Secondly, the purpose of God's power in the church is not for bragging rights or to show who we are. It's not to say we're Methodists, we're better than everybody else. Or look at us, the Holy Spirit's in our church. The purpose of God's power in the church is to show the world who God is, not us. And thirdly, a church without the Spirit of God is a dead church and reveals God to be a dead God. When we start to look biblically at the history of the power of God, we see, first of all, in the book of Genesis, God's power is revealed first and foremost. It is again in the book of Revelation. When we read from cover to cover, we see in the book of Genesis, God just literally speaks. There's nothing, by the way. We call this ex nihilo, out of nothing. There isn't the elements, and God speaks and they come together. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing but God. And God speaks, and all this comes into being, and all this begins to take shape, and the earth was formless and void. And then all of a sudden God speaks and it begins to form and things begin to take their place as God determines. He creates the heavens and the earth. And we watch as humankind goes along how God's power is revealed in His presence with His people. Especially in the book of Joshua when they went into the promised land and they were fighting against all these people that were there at the time. We see the power lied in their reliance on God and His presence with them. And He said to them, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, and His promise. Also, we see the power of God through His Spirit in the New Testament to the church. You see, God's power becomes evident through the workings of the church. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus, he explained the importance of a powerful church. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He tells the believers there that having believed in Christ, the Holy Spirit was deposited in you, was given to you. In verse 18, we see Paul says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which you've been called, that you may know the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and that you may know the incomparably great power for us who believe. And he explains that power is the power that resurrected Christ from and raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand. Paul says, I'm praying for you believers in Ephesus that you might know this resurrection power of Almighty God. In chapter 2, he says, Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens. You're fellow citizens with God's people and you're members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone, saying that Christ is the foundation from which God's powerful presence in the church comes. Then in chapter 4, he talks about unity and spiritual gifts in the church. Chapter 5, he talks about Christian living. And in chapter 6, he closes this letter to the Ephesians, talking about putting on the armor of God. Now, why would we need to put on the armor of God? Because we are in a battle, aren't we? A spiritual battle as Christians. You know, when we become Christians, we are not joining a club. We are handed a club because we are now part of the spiritual battle. And the church of Jesus Christ becomes involved in something so much bigger than we even understand. We become involved in this battle for the gospel, for the glory of God and His kingdom. But in the middle of this letter, that Paul explains some key points about the church, there's some things that I believe we've forgotten about in our text today. He says to them, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. So first of all, the power that we have from God that's given to us is given to us by grace. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. God gave it to us because He desired it to be that way. And we're going to see that here. That was God's desire for the church. And Paul said, this is what happened to me. I became a servant when God gave me grace and His power. He says, although I'm the less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. So what Paul's saying here is that he was not qualified to do this, but because God empowered him to do so, he's doing that, and God empowered him to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain made plain this mystery of God's salvation and how it all plays out. That was God's ministry, making it plain to all people. And in verse 10, he says, God's intent was that now, through the church, okay, now we've got to stop there for a second because I'm really, you know, the Holy Spirit's really speaking to us here this morning. Again, we do not all worship the same God in different ways. This is Jehovah Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he's talking about. God's intent, the intention of God in giving his power to the church, is that through the church is the body of believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Let's get that clear this morning before we leave here. The church is the called out ones, the ones that God called out through Jesus Christ to be a light in a darkened world, followers of Christ. God's intent was that now through the church, the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. You know what Paul's saying here? He's saying that through you and I, God has given his power to show all the rulers and principalities and authorities of this world and the heavenly realms who's in power, who's in charge. You see, through the church, the statement is made of God's intent. God's in power, God's in charge, and no one else. And this was according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. His eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, our Lord. God accomplished what his intent was through Christ, not through some other religion, folks. Now I'm not being politically correct. That's right, I'm not being. I'm being biblically correct. And there's a big difference. World difference. Divine difference here. Let's understand what we're trusting in here in the Lord's Word this morning. In Him and through faith in Him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. And I ask you not to be discouraged. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may be rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, to know His love, and that you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. How? Through God's power that's given to us by grace. That word power in the Greek, original Greek language this was written in, is dunamis. Dunamis comes from the root word dunami, which implies to be able or possible in force or in power. A miracle itself by ability and abundance and might. It's where we get the word dynamite from. Dunamis, dunami. Through God's power, His ability, His strength, all these things. Now he says to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Now that's some pretty strong words from Paul this morning. But, you know, if we don't take this seriously, then our power is not from God. It's from us. When our power's from us, then we truly are a dead church. because we don't have the power to do immeasurably more than anybody can ask or imagine. Our power is limited as human beings. In fact, as Paul noticed here, he said, I was less than the least of all God's people. But because of God's power, the church has given power. And in that power, we go out and show the wisdom of God and the riches of Christ for all people. It cannot be done without the power of God working in us. When we start to stray from that and start to rely on ourselves, we start to go down a dark road that's a dead end, and we find that out when we pursue that. Every single thing in life that we do, every choice that we make, everywhere that we go, everyone that we talk to, God has to be our source of power to be overcomers through Christ Jesus. And again, I can't stress, this is for the church, the believers in Christ. We receive by grace a power that's beyond what we can ever ask or imagine. Now, I can imagine this morning, a lot of you have a lot of things that you can imagine or ask for. But by the power of Almighty God, who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work within us. You see. It's an interesting passage here from Ephesians. I find it interesting. Paul puts this right in the very middle of his letter because it's one of the most important doctrines in Christianity. That's why we don't claim to worship the same God as other religions do, because all roads do not lead to the same place, and all gods are not the same God that we all just worship differently. That's a farce. That's a false teaching. That's a heresy in the church. That's not new. That was taught in Paul's day. You see? And that's why the Bible becomes very, very important for us in our culture today. Paul's reaching down thousands of years to us, to you and I right here this morning, to remind us that as the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, God's grace is given to us through His power. Do you ever stop to think about that? You possess in you, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you possess the power of God. You say, oh no, not me. I can't do this. I can't do that. I say, that's true, you can't. But if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge Him, He'll guide our paths. You see, because that's who God is and that's what He does. And He's given the power, His power, to the church. And if we trust in that power of God, we will always do what God wants us to do. We'll be an obedient church. We'll know the blessings of His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And we will truly be a powerful church that makes known to the whole world the joy of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's a scary thing. It's something that is foreign territory to a lot of us here this morning. But again, the power of the church is not in the people, it's in the Spirit of God. And the purpose of God's power in the church is not for bragging rights or to show who we are, but to show the world who God is. And thirdly, a church without the Spirit of God is a dead church and reveals God to be a dead God. May the power of God in His Word, in His presence, through His Spirit, be part of who we are here, trusting in God's power to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. And when we do, we will be the powerful church in the world today, in our community, in our culture, and we will make a difference because God is our power. Almighty God, sometimes the things